It's the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN. There's a column in the Chicago Tribune called The Balancing Act. It's written by my favorite writer over there, Heidi Stevens. She joins us on the phone right now. How are you this morning, Heidi?
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
Good. Thank you very much for jumping on the phone. You had a really poignant piece. It's online already. It'll be in your Sunday Chicago Tribune. The headline reads, Chicago, should I stay or should I go? And Heidi, I imagine it's a conversation that a lot of people have had that live within the city limits, especially with the, I mean, of course, the crime has gotten worse and worse and worse. But I think, you know, it's terrible to say we've tolerated it, but I think that it's been in neighborhoods where people, a lot of people don't live. And so it's a terrible problem that should be fixed, but it hasn't affected people personally. And it seems like this year it's affecting people more and more personally in so many different areas. And it's getting to the point with everything going on between the school system and the police department and everything else, where I imagine there's a lot of people who've gotten to the point where they've sat and reflected upon this like you did.
Yeah, that's just it. It's a perfect storm of a whole bunch of factors. It's not just the crime. It's not just the schools. It's not just the financial woes of the entire state. It's all of them sort of cascading onto us at once. And a lot of people are having this conversation. I'm having it with a lot of my friends and some of them who were born and raised here in the city and thought they would never, ever consider leaving, are thinking about pulling up roots and leaving the state or moving to the suburbs. And we're all sort of, hesitant to even open up the topic for discussion, and at the same time, we kind of can't talk about anything else because it is top of mind.
And it, you start out the article talking about just the other day in your neighborhood, not far from your home, I'm guessing, a six-year-old girl was shot.
Right.
That was just a random weird thing, or what happened there?
The night it happened, there weren't a whole lot of details. As the week progressed, we learned a little bit more. She was playing in front of actually her aunt's house, not her own house. And there was apparently a birthday party inside for some gang members and either a rival gang or I'm not certain, but some other gang members drove by and in retaliation opened fire on the people outside of the house, and she was the only one to get hit. And she survived, thank God. Right near a park that we frequent, a couple nights before that, two men were shot on Armitage right by the Tasty Freeze that we also frequent. These shootings are happening everywhere. They're happening on Lakeshore Drive, on the lakefront. The woman a couple weeks ago walking out of the Starbucks a block from police headquarters at 4 in the afternoon. It's not, I don't think anybody's under the impression anymore that if you stay out of certain areas or if you aren't out alone or if you aren't out in the middle of the night that you're fine. I think all of us at this point are realizing that, like, it could kind of be anybody at any time of day.
That, I really think you've hit on something there, Heidi, because I remember as recently as 2 years ago, when we'd hear the stories about the shootings, I would always be stunned, and I don't think this got talked about that much, that when a child got shot, you'd hear later in the story at 11 p.m. or at 2 a.m. Out on the porch, and maybe that's because we're in areas that don't have air conditioning, so people are forced out of their house in the hot summer.
Yeah.
But you'd also be like, why are kids out, you know, at this time? Now,
right. These
stories more and more often, the neighborhoods are different, the time of day is insane, we're on roads now, and it's just infecting the city, and now really starting to scare people more and more. And so you end up saying, okay, at what point do we say, no, this is my town, this is my city, I'm going to stay here and fight for it? And when do you say, I have young kids, and I'm not taking chances on this?
That's the, million-dollar question, because I have said for years when friends of mine have asked either who live in the suburbs or who live in altogether different states, why do you stay? What's appealing about it? And I have always admitted the city is worse. I've lived here for 18 years. I'm not blind to it, and I've been in all sorts of neighborhoods. I've lived near Pilsen, South Loop, Wicker Park in the 90s, which was certainly not what it is today. And my conviction was always, I want to do my part to make it better. I don't want the city to be the place that I lived in my 20s so I could bar hop and have fun, and then once it's time to put roots down and pay property taxes, I flee for the burbs. I love this city. I want to do what I can to make it better. I want to send my kids to the schools. I want to live in the boundaries. I want to do all of that. And I still really firmly believe that. That's my value system. At the same time, you know, I have kids I've got to look out for. And, you know, how in good conscience can you let your kids play on a sidewalk in front of a house in the same neighborhood where a girl's getting shot at 8 p.m. playing on the sidewalk in front of her aunt's house? That's a hard one to grapple with.
Has it changed the way you live in your neighborhood now since these shootings have happened? Are you making sure the kids are not in the front yard at certain times? Or are you staying inside the house at night? Has it, you know, fully taken hold that now I have to think about everything we're doing?
You know, it's starting to, and especially as summer arrives. I mean, Chicago typically gets more violent in the summer, and we've been in a little bit of a bubble. We're on a quiet block within a neighborhood that has trouble spots, but, you know, we haven't seen crime on our specific block other than your random, like, you know, our tires got stolen off our car one night, which is not fantastic, but it's, you know, nobody's hurt.
Right.
But sure, I'm starting to wonder about it, and I'm starting to make sure we're all back inside at night. And I don't, you know, I don't let my daughter, you know, she's old enough to ride her bike alone. I don't let her turn a corner where I can't see her at all times. And that feels a little icky. It feels like not a complete childhood. If you can't ride your bike around a block, you have to ride it in a straight line up and down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's giving her the freedom that she deserves. And when my son's old enough to do that, that'll be the freedom he deserves. And at the same time, even as I say that, I'm fully aware how privileged that sounds to assume that my children deserve freedom that other kids in the city will never have. And so that's hard too. I don't want to be the mom who's like, oh, my kids deserve better. We're out of here.
Well, all the kids deserve better. And if the people living in the neighborhoods could move, I'm sure that they would, especially in the really rough neighborhoods. I mean, but they can't, right? So do you say, well, I don't want to be that person, so we'll stay? Or do you say, you know, unfortunately for the other people, I can make these choices, and so I will. I think it's such a tough decision to make, and it's such a tough discussion to have. But, you know, Heidi, I live way out west in a relatively quiet town. And just in the last year, we let our 10-year-old kids start riding more on their own and not knowing where they are. I think it's a change we've had in parenting since you and I were kids, when the street, you know, I was out till the streetlights came on. They had no idea where I was.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy to think back. And,
totally.
And now we don't do that. And especially in the city where you are. I can't imagine how helicoptery we would be if we had our kids around there and trying to deal with the extra concerns that would be going on, because the crime is real and it is happening. Here it's, you know, we're scared if there's a van and what could be happening, and we worry about things that maybe don't necessarily happen. You're in an area where you're seeing it happen, you're reading about it happening, and it's very tough to make those decisions. We're speaking with Heidi Stevens. She writes The Balancing Act in your Chicago Tribune. This article on Chicago and Should I Stay or Should I Go will be in your Chicago Tribune on Sunday. You can find it online right now at chicagotribune.com. You can follow Heidi on Twitter at HeidiStevens13. When we come back, well, with any big decision, I think you make a pros and cons list. What are the pros and cons right now of living in Chicago? We'll talk about that a little more next. Matt Bubala with you on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Heidi Stevens from your Chicago Tribune. This is Matt Bubala with you on Radio 720 WGN. Heidi writes The Balancing Act in your Chicago Tribune. And this Sunday, when the paper hits the porch, there'll be an article titled Chicago, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And Heidi, who lives in the city and has with her husband and kids, is debating whether or not, maybe with the shootings and it hitting a little closer to home lately, maybe it is time to move out of the city. So, Heidi, I know that, you know, it's a lot of playground talk and talk that you have with people, and it's hard to avoid it. Do you start, I mentioned pros and cons lists, do you start talking about those things? Do you think those things in your head about why should we stay and why should we go?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's, it's sort of all we are thinking about and talking about right now. And it's the crime, as we talked about. It's also the school situation. I mean, there are $1 billion in debt. The teachers are threatening to strike at any moment, and I support their right to do that. I don't know, you know, between the two things, how to, you know, calm our fears about whether this is the best place to raise kids. So certainly we're making pros and cons lists in our heads and out loud to each other, my husband and I, if not necessarily writing them down. The city is a lovely, diverse place in many, many ways, and a lot of the things that I've loved about it since I moved here in the 90s are still true, and we like going to playgrounds and hearing people speak all different languages. We like that my kids go to a public school where the classrooms are diverse and they have friends who, you know, sure, some of them go to the Swiss Alps in spring break and some of them get free breakfast and free lunch every day. And it's diverse in every single way it can be diverse. And I think that's a wonderful way to grow up. I think it gives you a great worldview and great perspective. And I don't want to remove my kids from that sort of setting. At the same time, I want to be a responsible parent who's looking at the full picture and saying, like, yeah, but is this safe? Is this healthy? Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I think that's the biggest thing that my kids miss by living out in the suburbs is diversity. They go to school with, maybe 3 African-American kids in the whole school, maybe some Asian kids, but, I mean, it's 98% white. And pretty much everybody they know is just some white Caucasian person like us. And we're missing out on that terribly, and I think that is an incredible thing to be able to have your kids grow up learning about the world, about the different cultures, and that's so important for the next generation of kids, especially in the climate we're living in right now with this presidential election, is letting people know about each other and their beliefs and their systems and their cultures and growing up getting along. I think that will go a million miles to making our world a better place. At the same
time, I think so, too. It's one of the biggest things to us and how we want our kids to be raised, and certainly, you know, open-minded, progressive parents can instill those values and teach those lessons in their kids, but it's really nice to have your kids just living those lessons. For example, the principal at my kid's school is an African-American woman. The assistant principal is an African-American man. They have teachers who are Indian. They have teachers who are Asian. They have, you know, friends who are from every religion and socioeconomic and cultural background that you can possibly come up with in your head. And so they just are learning those values by living them, by being friends with them, by being taught by, you know, all different types of people rather than learning it in the abstract, like some sort of, you know, anthropological lesson, like, of course, all people are equal. Well, it's like they would look at you like you were cross-eyed if you'd said that. Like, well, why wouldn't we think all people are equal? You know, we live that every day.
Yeah.
And I adore that. And it breaks my heart to think about putting my kids in a situation where that's not the case. Then again, we have these very real kind of terrifying problems that I don't see any solutions to. I don't see any leaders in place right now that are offering solutions. And I think that's the other part of this conversation that a lot of people are having. It's like, you know, cities are messy places. And I'm not talking about, you know, litter. I'm talking about, you know,
politics,
getting all sorts of people to get along and prioritizing everybody's needs and wants and all of that. That can be a messy thing. It takes a certain type of leader to make them function, and other cities are doing it pretty well, and we're just not right now. And that's hard to get your head around, too.
It is, and it's tough because if you leave, then you're doing nothing to stay there and fight for it. You can't truly affect change. You can't vote anymore in the city elections, and you'd have just kind of less of an active voice in it, no matter whether you're writing a column or not, if you're not living it, right? But at the same time, Your kids are kids only for so long, and this is not going to change overnight. So what do? You know, I have friends who keep telling me, oh, if Trump becomes president, was a friend of mine who's Canadian by birth, and she's like, I'm going back to Canada if Trump. And I get mad at her. I'm like, you know, stop it with that, because you're not moving to Canada, because that would be the worst thing you could do. If you, you know, are upset about something, you stay and you fight for what's right, and you don't run away from it. But this is not the same, because there's not kids involved in that. There's kids involved in this in such a direct way. And, you know, as parents, we've only got so much time to protect them and give them the best we can. And I don't envy you having to balance that out and worry about it. And it's sad that, you know, it's terrible that we're having this conversation now, that it's affecting neighborhoods where people that are a little wealthier live, and that all of us haven't been more outraged in the last 5 or 10 years. Even though there's been outrage and upset about it, we don't stand up and truly do anything about it. And I don't know what we could do, but it's you know, maybe the only way the city really gets affected is when the people who are paying a lot of money in taxes and really have money to spend in the city start saying, well, we're not going to stay in the city anymore. Maybe that's the only way to get the attention of the powers that be to say, how are we going to change this before we really lose, you know, the economic drivers of the city? It's sad to say, but that's what's going to change things from the ground up, right, is the city start, you know, the city's already losing population. The city starts losing tax money, everything else already so far in the hole in every way possible. When you're having conversations with your friends about this and everybody's kind of having that same concern, does anybody say, I wish this, you know, we all have the worries. Does anybody have the, boy, if this would just happen, or, but I really love this, I'd never leave because of this. Is the pros list ever outweighing the cons list, other than the diversity, other than we love this area and we love our city?
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely heard, I heard from a ton of people today, because the piece went online around, I would say, maybe 11 or noon today. And so there's, you know, there's already been a few hours for people to react. And I heard from, you know, mostly people who said, I'm having this exact same conversation. Mm-hmm. Thanks for putting in words. But I did hear from some people who said, you know, I hear you, I kind of agree, but I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, part of it is, you know, loyalty and love for the city. One guy said, I don't want to be part of white flight, which is an interesting perspective. Although I have to say that I have a lot of friends of color who are leaving the city, and there's plenty of research showing that, you know, African-American families and other families of color are fleeing the city, too. So this isn't necessarily a white people, you know, heading to Winnetka conversation.
I would imagine
it's bigger than that.
Now it's a socioeconomic thing, right? It's, we can afford to not live here, so we're not going to take the chance on it, I would imagine, is what's going on, right?
Right. And people are moving to cheaper cities. I mean, it's not all that affordable to live in Chicago. It's more affordable to live in Atlanta, for example, or some cities in Texas. I mean, Houston's growing, right, by leaps and bounds while we shrink. This isn't like the 60s. But I definitely did hear from people who said, you know, stay, I'm staying. I love my kids' school, and I love my kids' school too. I love the lake. I love, you know, the diversity. I love being able to bike everywhere. I don't want to live in the suburbs and live in my car. I don't. You brought up the van earlier. I heard from one dad who said, every time I'm out with my friends from work who live in the suburbs, they're frantically checking their phones about, like, alerts of creepy vans near kids' schools. Like, you know, it's not as though the suburbs are crime-free, and I don't think anyone is under that impression. So a lot of people are having that conversation too, I think. You know, what do we trade from this life that we like a lot to a life where, you know, things are better, but they're not idyllic?
You know, I think it's interesting. I don't have any data to back this up, but Heidi, I would guess that out here in the burbs, we helicopter way more than you do in the city, because you're just around more, so you get used to more. And you know, you try. I mean, think about this. You're thinking about moving because children have been shot blocks from your home. Out here, I mean, people would lose it. That would never be. So we're talking about it. People would be boarding up and, you know, torching their backyards if kids were getting shot out here. I mean, we're freaked out by anything out here. So it's a whole different system. And when you say these dads are checking their phones about alerts, we're probably all doing that out here. And probably it's almost never actually the case. I mean, of course, sometimes it is. It is a dangerous world. But by and large, it's Mayberry out here compared to where you live, right? Compared to any city that has a lot of people and has different, economic levels and things like that. So it's...
Totally. It is and it isn't. I mean, and this is going back to the pros and cons list that we're all sort of, you know, mentally making anyway. I often ask myself about the risks in the suburbs that we don't have here. I don't, you know, I have a 15-year-old stepson. I don't worry about him getting in the car with a drunk driver because none of his friends drive. Like, he's in high school and kids here don't drive. They Uber or they take the L. And like, in the suburbs, I will freak out when my kids become teenagers about drunk driving. I just will. Yeah. I remember being in high school. I know how many kids get behind the wheel drunk. There are things like that. School shootings are certainly not limited to urban areas. In fact, they mostly happen in, wealthy suburban areas.
And so the heroin issue in the suburban areas is probably
exactly.
So there's no perfect setting, right? I mean, there's going to be concerns anywhere you go. They're just hitting so close to home right now for you and for everybody within the city of Chicago. So in the end, what do you do? How do you figure out what to do? Is it just a gut feeling that finally comes or goes, or how do you think you guys will decide what to do?
I don't know. And to be honest, that's why I hesitated to write this piece, because I thought I'm unsettled about this. What am I going to say? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a decision to present. I don't have guidance to offer. I'm just lost. And so I thought, what am I really adding?
I think that's okay, Heidi. What you're adding is a relief to everybody else who's thinking the same thing, that they're not alone, that it's a scary time, and that sometimes you don't know what to do, and you just start talking about it, and eventually you'll figure out, hey, we're just going to stay, or we're going to go, or something will happen that presents itself to you that makes you feel like it's the right choice to make either way. But I applaud you for talking about it, because I think it's on a lot of people's minds, and it's something that needs to be talked about, and city leaders need to hear that people are talking about, should we even stay in the city anymore?
Yeah.
Because they're not, you know, it's not getting any better right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it is. And thank you for saying that. And I think that that was ultimately what pushed me into the decision to go ahead and write something, even without a clear, you know, and so here's what I've decided to do. Because I hear so many people having this conversation. I watch it play out on Facebook. I hear it on playgrounds. I know it's happening all around. And I thought, you know, there's something to tap into here. And the mayor and the governor and the aldermen and the Cook County commissioners and everybody should be aware that this conversation is happening, because I think the city could rebound. You know, I think it could be a turning point. It could also be the beginning of a downward spiral, an even further downward spiral. And the residents can only do so much. You know, you need good leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Heidi Stevens writes about it in your Sunday Chicago Tribune. Find the Balancing Act column or check it out at the Chicago Tribune at chicagotribune.com. And make sure you follow Heidi on Twitter at HeidiStevens13, where she'll give you some of the best comments that people make about her column so you don't have to search for them. And that's a whole separate conversation. I always enjoy when you post one or two on Facebook or on Twitter of something awful somebody said, because people just love that mask of anonymity that we get when we get to put in the comments section. It's so much fun to be so mean to people.
Yep. I know.
All right. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone, Heidi.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Matt.